Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Candyman, a podcast where we're not talking about Candyman, the movie where Virginia Madsen and Tony Todd had to hold still for 45 minutes while a tiny bee vacuumed bees off their faces. Instead, we're going to be talking about Sweet Tooth on Netflix. I'm Alex.
The way you talk about Candyman, it makes it feel like it's all bees. It's a movie just all bees.
I mean, there's a lot of bees. There's a lot of bees.
Yeah. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete. Oh, man, I can't wait to eat these M&M's.
Oh, my God. Stop it. Put it down. Put it down. Put it down. Put it across the room. This episode, we're going to be talking about season 2, episode 4 of Sweet Tooth, Bad Man. And we're going to be reviewing, at the end of the episode, a classic, Peanut M&M's. So if you don't want spoilers for either the episode or Peanut M&M's, definitely don't listen to this.
Big spoilers coming up about the M&M's. What's inside the M&M's? Stay tuned and find out.
But in the episode, brief bit of recap here. So basically, as you can probably tell from the title, with Bad Man, we're focusing on everybody either being bad or breaking bad in different ways. We're picking up on a lot of the cliffhangers for the last episode. We start off in Factory Town, where Amy and Jep are trying to get out. They're trying to get together with these, what are they called, Airbuds?
Nope. Yeah, they're Airbuds, dogs that play basketball.
There's no rule. There's no rule that they can't play basketball.
It's a great point. There's no rule they can't be the army you march into Abbott's stronghold with. These people are Air Lords, I believe.
Air Lords. I'm going to keep calling them Airbuds throughout the podcast, though. Anyway, they are trying to track them down. Ultimately, they get taken in by them. There's a bunch of kerfuffles that lead to Jep revealing to Amy that, in fact, he used to take hybrid kids. And Amy is like, by the end, you're not a fit father for Gus. I'm going to take it from here. See you later, Air Bud. And then meanwhile, Gus is also dealing with some stuff of his own as the animal kids found out that he was lying about their chameleon friend, lizard friend, whatever it was. Regardless, he is still being trusted by Poppy, which is the best thing that's ever happened in the history of the world. Oh, my God. We got to talk about Bobby's Shawshank moment.
Bobby had a Shawshank moment. He also did that. He turned his back on him. Oh, walked away. I was like, Bobby, come on.
I know I'm jumping about this in the middle of the recap, and I always get peed on this. The Shawshank moment with Bobby was the best moment on TV in the past decade. I'm just going to throw it out there.
See, I'm the least Bobby guy here. You're Alex, you're like all Bobby. Pete, you're medium Bobby. I'm little Bobby, little on Bobby. But that moment was the fact that they were right there on the table. It was right there on the table for them, and they just did it.
They did it. They were like, shocking. Gotta have the Shawshank shot.
Made me so happy. And I think that's it for the episode. We should move on with Peanut.
No,
I'm kidding. Anyway, so Bobby gets out, but at the same time, Bear gets in to the last men. She is training. She is killing it there. She is on a mission. Clearly, I think we haven't said this out loud, and obviously she can't tell anybody, but it's clear that she's like, I got to get to the Essex County Zoo at all costs. It doesn't matter literally what it costs me other than this audio tape that I'm going to hold on to of Birdie. I think it's Birdie on the tape, right? Talking to Gus, if I remember correctly. And she trains. She loses track of Blondie, who's kind of bummed out about it.
Well, he sucks. He sucks at being the last man. Bears are sick at it. It's great.
But by the end of the episode, they've been sent on a mission to infiltrate a hybrid family and take back a hybrid who can talk. Obviously, we know it's not Gus, but Bear thinks it's Gus. And the biggest stuff, I think, arguably, is going down with Sing and Ronnie. We speculated on the last episode, is Ronnie having like a little bit of a break with Sing? And I think this episode, yes. You know, she is not on board. She sees that Peter Crocodile has been sacrificed to make this cure. That's the thing that she's just like, she backs off.
What do you do when a Peter goes down, Pete? Peter?
You got to pour a little out for the homie, you know what I mean?
A little M&M out? Drop an M?
Yeah, drop an M.
Oh, man. Anyway, Ronnie, though, is also revealing herself as kind of a master manipulator / mastermind. She finds out that Johnny is actually Abbott's brother and manipulates this whole dinner to basically make Abbott realize that he loves his brother, and it kind of works.
Well, I was also like, what? This is the plan? I was like, what, this is a love plan?
Yeah. It works though, man. That's how the show works.
Somebody getting emotional about their brother so then you can work your plan.
Yes, but is her secret plan then to make Johnny happy so that he'll be nice to the hybrid kids? Like, that's what, like, her plan is not yet revealed.
So over the course of this dinner, first of all, she finds out that Johnny, he makes a little slip, and he's like, yeah, that's my brother, I know, we're kind of different, whatever. She stores this information away that she and Sing, after Sing legitimately just seems to discover a cure for the sick, which is wild.
Yeah.
Though obviously he's got to mass produce it somehow. That's, you know, the stumbling block we have at this point. It clearly still depends on killing hybrid children, which is not great. So that's going to be another stumbling block there. But Abbott decides to celebrate.
Probably feel a little different if the guy's name was Alex.
Wait,
what?
What?
The crocodile? You're like, oh, it's not that big of a deal to kill some, you know, animal children.
No, I said it was a stumbling block.
Yeah, that, yeah. I'm saying if it was Alex was the name of the alligator, which makes more sense if you ask me, you would probably rank a little higher than just the stumbling block.
Okay? Right, that's like how also, your name is Harry Human for the alliteration as well, right?
That's right.
I would also, Alex, killing a crocodile boy, to call that a stumbling block, I would say is minimizing it perhaps a little bit. A stumbling block is something that you step over or around pretty easily.
Sorry, what do you refer to killing children as? Because I always call it stumbling blocks.
I'm going to listen to you. We're like, what did you do today? And like, oh, I had a bunch of stumbling blocks. I had to get to it. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, right.
Yeah. They're stumbling over blocks. I'm stumbling over their blocks. Anyway, so regardless, Ronnie finds this out, stores away this information, designs the whole menu, makes it into like, I guess the idea there is like home comfort meal or something.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This plan relies on a lot of big emotional swings. And our guy really coming through with the real cheese, Dudley.
How about that? Real
Dud. This is jumping ahead a little bit, but I really like the moment when Gus escapes and he runs by Dudley, and Dudley's like, with his tray.
Very fun. He's in the middle of Top Chef The Crumble, just trying to win and not be killed by Abbott. High stakes Top Chef. It's great.
But like I was saying, though, so she makes this meal. She gets Johnny and Abbott to admit that they're brothers. You know, Johnny's obviously willing to do it, but Abbott is like, oh, did you find out now? All right. And goes into his whole arch
thing.
And
then he takes off his glasses for like a long period of time and is very freaky.
Well, and it was an alarming moment to the last episode. In this episode, they clearly are doubling down on that idea. Like he was faking being human the last episode. This episode, which I was shocked about. I thought there was going to be a turn in the scene at some point where he's playing them in some way, but he's not. He's legitimately fondly remembering the time they were in a band together. They thought they were going to be in Simon and Garfunkel or like Ice Simon and Garfunkel. They probably didn't think they were going to be in Simon.
That is a weird dream because that band famously didn't have a lot of other space. You know what I mean?
You know what this band needs.
They weren't looking for like a drummer, you know?
My dream is to star in Cagney and Lacey, be one of the two main stars.
Yeah. Simon, Garfunkel, Abbott, and Glasses. What a great foursome.
the and just that story was very heartfelt. Again, I spent the whole scene waiting for like some sort of classic turn, but it didn't come. And I appreciate the level of storytelling it leads to that not coming.
Well, and I think the telling statement was, I'm the hand and he's the heart. And I think the hand is dangerous. The heart is very reachable and changeable. And I think that's what the goal, Ronnie's plan feels like. It's like getting Ronnie and Johnny to be like sort of like, you're on my team and we're going to like do good.
She wants
here.
To steal his heart, basically.
Yeah, right. Indiana Jones style.
Yep.
The
Numshi vibe, bro.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny. When I first thought of, I imagined Indiana Jones taking a heart and putting a bag of sand in its place. But what you said makes way more sense. The actual heart stealing.
Wow. Yeah. Weird. I went to the heart stealing moment, and you went to the old sand trophy kind of move.
Yeah, I was thinking about the nuke the fridge moment when you guys were saying putting a heart in the fridge, and then.
Everyone's favorite Indiana Jones moment.
Yes.
But I do think that's a long con situation, Ronnie. But does Ronnie have a long time left?
No. Ooh. Well, she definitely has way longer than you would think. She has been around for a very long time. I do think we talked about this a couple of episodes back, but I don't know if Ronnie's making it out of this season.
I don't think so.
Well, especially the way she was like, I just want to look at the stars. I was like, are you dying?
Well, and what she like, does she cry blood tears? What happens with their blood on her face?
That's from the doctor who's careless
from killing the
it wasn't clear. Yeah, it took me a little while to his stumbling block, you guys remember.
Yeah.
But no, she finds out stop saying that he clearly was touching Peter Crocodile, got some blood on his head, and she
That makes way more sense.
Yeah. No, he was just rubbing Peter, and then he was getting the Peter juices all over his head. Is that better, Pete?
Yeah, there you go. Great.
Great. Anyway,
it's a show for children. Television
podcast,
show.
Clearly. So, and that's what you got on her cheek, and that's what makes you realize, oh God, he's still the way that he's made this cure, the way that
he's
solved
still murdering children.
Exactly. And for her, she is personalized. As one should, the hybrid children. We get an example later on with the guy who looks like that guy from Workaholics who's hanging out with Hulk, the two soldiers that come in, and they don't see them. They're straight up like, ooh, I would love to eat these children, which is ogre behavior.
Yeah.
So a lot of what we're getting in this episode, and we talked about this on the last episode of the podcast, is just driving home the theme of the title. Like, bad man... Yes, there are some people, like I would say those two soldiers, those are bad men. But everybody else, on the surface, Abbott is a bad man, but there's more to him. Does that make what he's doing good? Probably not, but it's something to think about.
And our two main characters, if you want to call them that, Jeppard and Gus, like do something bad. Everyone thinks they're bad, but we know they're good because we like them, and they're our main characters. And I like the duality of both of them getting busted by their secrets being revealed in this episode and dealing with the consequences of that, which for Jep, he's left behind, has to drive rather than fly, which is a bummer. If you've ever traveled by car. You ever traveled by car? That's the thing. Exactly. It takes a long time.
It does.
Flying faster because you're in the air.
All right. Well, I need to talk about something that we haven't addressed yet. I want to talk about that sick banjo opening that we got to this episode that was just...
And closing. The bluegrass is crushing.
Yeah, you're right. It was a nice banjo sandwich that we got here that we haven't talked about.
Well, sorry.
Every day is a banjo sandwich if you do it
right. To pivot off of that for a second, though, this also ties into something that we were talking about a couple of episodes back on the podcast as well, which is they have that great thing where Amy and Jep come out. Everybody's partying because they think there's a cure for the sick. And Amy says, has everyone forgotten the sick is still out there? Again, the show, not so subtly, but also subtly talking about the current place we are in with COVID, with the actual pandemic we're in, without making you feeling bad for feeling it, talking about the real world, but picking these little details that we are dealing with every day and throwing into the show when they make sense. I thought that was great. And I thought there were a couple of moments like that throughout this episode.
That felt very real when that happened. It definitely snapped me out of the show for a second to like, oh, that's what people say here, especially when they were filming this, which was much more much closer to the more lockdown pandemic.
Yeah.
Pete, great. Well, I think we've said everything we need to say.
Yeah, we're good. No. Really fucking took the fun out of that.
But banjos, well, the banjos were good.
Oh, banjo sandwich. Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
Banjo sandwich. Yeah, I was just impressed that we started.
By the way, did you guys, I was reading this in the Times, actually. There's a new COVID variant called banjo sandwich.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's
sounds
real bad.
Excellent. Yeah.
If you get it, you got to play the banjo to get better. Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Banjo
for,
your way out of sickness.
Can't banjo your way out of this one, Pete.
Ah, dang it. One who says I'm going to be able to banjo my way out of this, and then you'll all be sorry.
Pete's trying to banjo his way out of it. I thought it was interesting at the top of the episode, Jeppard and Amy are together talking, and they're like, I only met you yesterday. And I was like, oh, right. This show is – the timeline is super compressed. Mm-hmm. Like, they did just meet yesterday. All of this stuff still happened so recently for them. They're on the run. They need to go back there immediately. Like, it feels like everything's so entrenched, but it's actually, like, so active.
Yeah.
Well, so that's interesting.
I just wanted to say an additional thing about that I was – struck in this episode in particular, and I think they turned it enough by the end of the episode, but I started to feel like, man, we're four episodes in and these kids are still in the zoo. We still need to get everybody together. And obviously we have half the season to go, but I was starting to feel a little like the previous season went so many places. It was this epic journey. Every episode felt like we're exploring a new version of the world. And this season feels smaller and tighter, even though we are visiting some other places and getting to see Factory Town, and we're getting to see what's going on with the Air Buddies and everything. So we do get to see some other places, but it's not exploring in the same way. But I do think we get a very clear mission and things open up in a big way in the second half of this episode that made me feel a little better about that.
Yeah, I mean, once you break out of Shawshank and get your moment, I mean, the world is your oyster. We're going to see a lot.
Well, we're heading to Lemire City, a clear reference to Jeff
Lemire.
Yeah, said that a bunch of times. But are you guys feeling that at all? I wonder, not to get back to the COVID of it all, but I do wonder if there were certain COVID or budget limitations or something like that, where they're like, hey, we gotta tighten this up a little bit just in terms of scope of the action.
To me, it's like just a very different type of pacing. The first season was like a lot of big moves as we're telling sort of this longer backstory underneath it at the same time, but it was like the front journey. And this, we met over the course of the first season, we met all these characters. So now they have just so many more people to follow. So we're just moving all these pieces down the board a little bit at the time, bringing them together for sort of the uber narrative to become one, to combine, I guess. So I think it's just a different pacing style of telling the story.
It's also much more serialized the season. Not that it wasn't the last season, but it felt more episodic because of those places. So, yes,
take
maybe
it easy. We're halfway. Take it easy.
Sure, we'll see what happens. I started to get worried, and again, I was fine by the end of the episode, but I started to get worried a little bit that this was a second season that isn't leaving it all on the table. You know, that it was like, well, we're going to deal with the battle for the Essex County Zoo, and that's where we end up. But what I really loved, and I think what we all loved about the first season, is how big it went and how far it went in this story. It felt like, wow, maybe they have like a couple of episodes left. And this one to me is feeling more like the long play of, okay, maybe we won't finish this up by the end of season two, and they'll be setting up season three and season four and season five, which, given the current TV atmosphere, always makes me nervous for a show.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cause you never really know. But I do think I was feeling the same way about specifically the kids. Like, it feels like they're just always in the room being like, what are we going to do now? And that was going on here again until Gus literally runs out the door, breaking the pattern up there. Really like full horn antler to the stomach or leg to the for that dude.
Yeah, he tore out. Up. Yeah, that one guy.
Yeah, that was Hulk, right? Or did he get Hulk, or did he get Workaholics?
I think he got Hulk.
Okay,
I can't tell.
Well, and then Workaholics got zapped in the balls.
Mm.
But yeah, I would like to talk a little bit about like how you know, yeah, lying is bad, but it was a little messed up how Wendy just kind of threw Gus under, like, oh yeah, this fucking asshole's lying to you guys. And then she was on their side, and then everybody just turned their back on Gus. Like, I understand, like, yeah, you can't lie, but like, it's not like, you know, I mean, he's trying to keep moods light and, you know, we're trapped in prison here, you know? So I was a little heartbroken that everybody was so quick to be like, hey, Gus, fuck you, you know?
Well, let me throw this out at you. Do you, and this is driven home in this episode, Wendy was raised by Amy, and what Amy does to Jep is about even to what Wendy does to Gus.
Ooh, yeah. Call. Wow. There, nice.
So I do think there's a consistency there in terms of how they have been raised. Yeah, well, how they deal with things.
Well, and but without Gus, the leadership in the hybrid room is, well, is, yeah, chaos.
But, yeah, but and how are you going to storm a castle without the big man? You know what I mean? You're just benching the best player. That's a dumb move. Like, I understand why she did it emotionally, but like strategically, that was a really dumb move.
Well, and I think she was very upset, but I think eventually they'll come back together when he goes and drives his truck a long ways or whatever.
Yeah. And then, of course, I think that was also to get Bobby out of there so he can tell them where the animal kids are. I think he's probably going
to
be there.
How hard do you think they wrote to get that Shawshank moment? I feel like the idea from the story came from, like, what if we had a Muppet doing a Shawshank moment, and then they were...
You mean before season one, right? Like, that was the pitch in the room?
The series.
And they were like, first of all, here's $100 million. Second of all, how do you get there a season and a half in? Because, by the way, we wanted a season and a half in.
Right.
Do you think they shot him crawling through, like, a shit pipe?
Yeah, they did.
Because I think that's part of the journey.
I wanted the voiceover to come in when he started to do the, you know, he crawled through, you know.
They should have let it drag on longer, and the animal kids asked for, like, some sort of animal kid Rita Hayworth poster to put on the walls and hide it.
Yeah,
so many ideas there. We got to remake this show.
We got to watch Shawshank Redemption, I think, is the real answer.
Because we clearly don't know what's going on. One thing we should probably mention that's a big plot point is the group of three now knows about the cure, and they want to meet with Abbott. He's got a plan here for what's going to happen. That doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't. Especially because when we saw the three, they wanted nothing to do with this guy. Thought he was clearly out of his gourd.
Well, and also the fact
Leave it close, Pete. Leave it close.
Come on, man. We're at time.
No, we're not at time. What does that mean?
20 minutes in is when we open the candy. That's what we've been doing the whole time.
True. You're the kid at the holidays who's like, we said we were opening presents at 4 a.m. And it's like, no one said that. No one said that. We're doing it when we get up.
Yeah, hold on. We're almost there.
Now I forgot what I was going to say, so I hope you're happy. Now I'm going to say something that is stupid instead. Okay. When we first met the Air Lords, I was like, this is Tailspin. These people are all the characters from Tailspin. And that's really what I thought, and that's what it reminded me of.
Is Bear...
Pete lost it because he's got candy.
I'm trying to put it.
Is Bear yum yum for my tum tum?
No, is Bear. Is Bear? Am I Bear? Candy Bear. I'm a candy bear.
While you're figuring out whatever you were going to say, Pete, a couple of things that I'll mention.
Gadget?
I really. So just talking about the Air Buds for a second.
Oh, that's Rescue Rangers.
We do have this moment where Jep is drawn into conflict by this dude and beats him up. That felt a little stagey to me, to be honest, that this dude was just railing on Jeopardy in the middle of this whole thing, particularly when he's like, oh, you destroyed that guy right on the field. That's literally poking the bear there, right there, that's going on. But otherwise, I like this group. This is a fun, ridiculous, post-apocalyptic group to have people who are based on planes. They also seem like doofuses. There's that moment later on where they're just being very intensely walking down their storage area and somebody drops all of the canisters in the background that I thought was very fun. This is jumping over to another thing, but one of my favorite lines of the episode is when Ronnie is talking to Johnny and they're just going back and forth and back and forth. And then there's a pause in the conversation and Abbott's like, you good?
That whole dinner scene was wild, between the Dudley stuff and all of it. It was just like a fun scene. This show is capable of just taking on a different tone and having this like sort of funny, weird, but with an edge, also heartwarming scene in the middle. It's cool.
That whole gargoyle moment was also really intense.
Yeah, set up like a Seinfeldian code word.
Yeah.
And it happens to be gargoyle. Like
already in too deep.
Oh, yeah. No, I love that. Just having her say it immediately, that just really drove a line under. Ronnie's like, please, we need to get out of there. Yeah. Get out of here. And Singh can't. Like, he can't do it. If she said it in the middle of the meal, it wouldn't matter either because it's already in too deep. And to talk about like the tension between them, and then we can move on to the candy for real.
That scene, I have five or ten more.
Come
points
on, dude. Really,
well, when they're getting ready for bed as well, like they're just on different paths. I think at this point, there is no world where we end the season where Ronnie and Singh are together.
Yeah, they're gonna. You think they're gonna get a divorce?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the first post-apocalyptic divorce.
What do you think divorce is like in the post-apocalypse? It's like, hey, just walk away from each other. It's fine. You don't have to, like, literally, no, we really want to file the paperwork.
Yeah, we got to split up our stuff. You can't carry your stuff. None of your stuff. Yeah. You can't eat any of your butt stuff.
It's not going to fit in your bindle, your divorced bindle. I did want to say the moment Singh is, like, waiting for the cure, that really worked on me. That was really well done. Yeah, like, it's great science moment, I thought. But then, like, him finding the cure was very underplayed. No one was very excited for him.
I really thought that Abbott was going to inject himself immediately and be like, I'm the first person who gets it. But I think they're instead putting it into play for some moment later on. Whatever he's doing with the group of three ties into that, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. The other thing I want to say is the narrator is really hitting the platitudes. Yeah. Like, I want some more hard information from James Brolin here.
I agree.
I've had enough of him being like, the thing with roads is they're always taking you somewhere. I'm like, I know, dude. I know.
What we joked about this the last season, about him just sort of waking up and rolling over and saying some stuff. And then we found out from Jim Mickle, the showrunner, that he's super into it. Like, he loves doing the narration, really thinks about it a lot. But definitely this season is a lot of like, what does this have to do with what's going on? I'm not like, we don't have to have the narrator if it doesn't make any sense.
That's 100% right.
Yeah.
All right. I did like the line, welcome to the cheap seats, big man. That was a fun line.
Yeah. Why don't we move on to the candy? We are going to talk about, as we mentioned, a classic peanut M&Ms here.
What's inside? Let's find out. Let's find out what's inside.
I am curious before we even get to it, and you can open it up and eat stuff while you want, Beep. But we talked about what we were going to eat here, and we were like, okay, what kind of M&Ms? Because there's a lot of different flavors, but there's, you know, there's the basic chocolate M&M, peanut M&M. I think now in the rotation, you got your peanut butter M&Ms and then fun flavors. Yeah, well, but like, that's the standard. Like, they have that all the time now.
Yeah, because Alex, you eat all the fucked up M&Ms, right?
All the time. Whenever I see a weird M&M, I'm all over that. But why peanut M&Ms, Pete? Why was that your number one choice? You were so sure of that above regular M&Ms.
Peanut M&Ms is the best of the M&Ms.
Yes, I mean, I figured that based on you chose it, but why is it the best one?
Well, I'm getting there. I've tried all the M&Ms all the time, and they're just a better combination. Like, the chocolate ones are nice, but they're too chocolatey as far as they don't add anything else. With peanut, you're getting peanut and chocolate. And even the ones that have peanut butter in there is not as good. The caramel ones are nice, but the peanut M&Ms, it's just such a great ratio of chocolate and peanut. Hmm. It's a perfect combination.
I've never heard you speak with such succinct eloquence and confidence, Pete. So, bravo. So, big reveal. There's a peanut inside of this peanut M&M. Spoiler. I agree. I think peanut M&Ms are the best M&Ms.
Interesting.
The only other M&M I like is if you take a regular M&M and they're very cold, like you leave them in your winter coat pocket and like go outside, then you pull them out and eat them. Or a fridge. I've never chilled anything in a fridge. Is that like being outside in the winter with your coat pocket? Because that's where I put, like, when I get groceries, I put like the sandwich meat in my pockets, and like ice cream is harder than in your pocket because it always melts. But
how big is your pocket, man?
Pretty big. And I have a crisper area in my pocket for the lettuce.
Smart.
So I'll always choose regular M&Ms over peanut M&Ms. I'm fine with peanut M&Ms, but
interesting.
Why?
Two reasons. I'm fine with them, but like I can't taste the peanut. I don't feel like it adds anything necessarily to the M&M over the basic M&M.
Can't taste the peanut. Are you sure you're eating it? Are you just holding it?
I lick it.
It's mostly peanut. You fucking.
It's almost all peanut.
Yeah. I just sort of you lick the outside and then throw it away, right? That's how you eat the M&M.
Yeah, it's like a pebble.
No, but like I taste the peanut butter and the peanut butter items. I like those because I'm like, great, I'm getting a peanut butter flavor. I just don't really get it from here. And then also, this is definitely psychological and I'm sure wrong, but my feeling is always, oh, I'm going to get more M&Ms in the regular M&M package than in the peanut M&M package because they're too large.
Oh, man. What are you, six? That's not how it works.
What?
You're like trying to game the system? Like, I need the most candy for my buck.
Probably, yes. Yeah, why not? Got a good deal.
Peanut M&Ms are hardier. It's going to be a bigger
more
meal.
Of a meal. More of your meal M&M.
Right. Yeah, if you're hungry and you want more, you get more from the peanut M&Ms.
Again, they're totally fine, good candy, but I will always reach for regular M&M. I do have a question. I've never done this, and I've always thought about doing this, and then
what
I forget.
What is broken inside your brain that you're like, I don't want these things to taste better?
I like peanuts, and I like M&Ms. Stop mixing them. Broken. Stop putting peanut butter in my chocolate. Don't put peanut in my chocolate.
What if we took a regular M&M and taped a little peanut to it? Would you
I'd
like
be
that?
Way more into that because free tape.
Yeah.
What are you out of money, man? You need to borrow some money.
I've spent all my money on this podcast.
Believe that.
Wait, I do have a question, though. So because this is a classic and I've never done it, and I'm curious if you guys have ever done it. Have you ever put M&Ms in the popcorn at movie theater? Is that good?
Yeah, it is. Yes. Okay. Hell yeah.
Yuck.
Are you kidding me?
Would never.
Oh, my God.
Do you also put butter sauce on it?
Oh, yeah, you do.
What are you, trying to die? Are you? Yeah. This is insane. No wonder you see movies alone because you're mixing a whole candy mess in your popcorn bag.
Oh, man. And then I get that kind of like white cheddar you can sprinkle on top. Oh, come on.
I couldn't even sit next to you if you were eating that. That's how much that would cost.
Without talking about the specific candies that we've already done on the podcast, because I should mention, I don't think I mentioned this the last episode, eventually we're going to have to decide on the syrup cup round two, the best candy of the season. How are you feeling about peanut M&Ms? It sounds like you like them. Do you feel like they're highly ranked, middle ranked, low ranked?
Let's talk about what we've had. As so far as we go backwards, Cadbury Cream Egg.
I just said we're not doing that.
You said don't do that.
Yeah, I know. That's why I want to do this. Yeah. So for me, peanut M&M's better than the Cadbury. Hmm. I'm looking right into your eyes, Zalbs, because I know.
I'm not going to rank them. So actually, that's fine. But you're already doing this. So you got Cadbury Cream Eggs. You got peanut M&M's. You got we did Sour Patch Kids.
Yes, right.
No, wait. What did we do with Warheads? It was Nerds versus Warheads.
Nerds.
We did Nerds, and we did Twizzlers. Right? Was that the first one?
That sounds right.
Mm, I thought there you go. Sour Patch ones in there.
No, that was season one.
No,
season one. Yeah, oh, season one.
Yeah.
Let me say, I think I don't like candy.
Horrible revelation halfway through the season for a podcast.
Hearing you list those things, I mean, it's fun. Hearing you list those things, I'm like, I never buy any of that stuff, nor do I eat it. So,
well, I'll tell you what.
I talk
what
to
we
myself
probably should
when
have
I
done
walk
this episode,
into...
and so we can do next episode, is a nice lasagna.
I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
When I go to a grocery
savory
store.
Savory men.
When I go to a grocery store, I got to have a talk with myself to be like, don't just go right to the candy aisle and buy everything. You can't do that.
Really? That's a huge surprise based on how you've been treating this podcast where I say, hey, do you have time to do a Sweet Tooth podcast? And the first thing you text back is, what candy are we doing? Not
that's
what
right,
episode.
Because now I'm like, now I can get something from the candy aisle.
And you set a mental clock where it's like, well, I've talked for 19 minutes. It's time to start opening the candy.
It's candy time. Well, anyway, there we go. Yet another great episode of Sweet Tooth and another great episode of our Candy Review podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Sweet Tooth. Sweet Tooth. Apple, Spotify.
Sweet Tooth.
Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter. Comic Book Club Live. on TikTok and Instagram. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, the Candyman can.
And each bag of M&M's has one with a pebble in the middle of it, right? No. You got to be careful about that one.
Yep.
I'm the opposite. I think I love candy too much, Justin. I'm the opposite of you.
Oh, really?